welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, August 26th. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is enjoying a well-deserved vacation in the Canadian Rockies. Poor guy's probably suffering through temperatures in the mid-60s, even as we speak. The Buckmaster Show is heard live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. right here on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. And we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Also, you can hear the show via podcast at buckmastershow.com. And note that tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com also carry the podcast. Those are usually available but an hour after the show. There's also a link to Bill's show from the websites at Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun at gvnews.com and sahuritasun.com, and on the homepage of blogforarizona.com. You can also find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com. In today's first half hour, we'll be talking to our political experts, John Munger and Vince Rago. And after the news at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking to Lynn Peters Adler, author of the recently published Celebrate 100. And she and I are going to be busting some of the myths about older people you may have. It's a great book. If you have a comment or question, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040, or join us on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Monday political face-off featuring commentators John Munger, a Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for governor in 2010, and Vince Rabago, also a Tucson attorney and Democrat candidate for Arizona Attorney General in 2010. The Monday political face-off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Welcome, gentlemen. Hope you guys had a great weekend.
Good to see you both.
Good to see you, Dan.
Yeah, good. Thank you for being here. First topic we're going to cover is a petition effort that would basically force a second look at the governor's decision to expand Medicaid in Arizona. An editorial Sunday in the Arizona Daily Star says that those collecting petition signatures are leading people to believe the effort will stop Obamacare in the state, which is not true. Is it, Vince?
No, it won't stop Obamacare, but it will, if passed, if the referendum actually gets on the ballot and then passes, what it will do, it will derail Jan Brewer's law that she pushed forward to participate in a slight increase from 100% of the poverty level to 133% of the poverty level that was provided by the Affordable Care Act.
Okay. Right. And John, the editorial says that without expanded Medicaid, 63,000 people in the state will go without coverage starting January 1st. But can we afford this? I guess that's really the question.
Well, I don't really think that that's the ultimate issue. I think the ultimate issue, I mean, we can always provide more money for more people. The question, Dan, is what can we afford to do in this country that frankly is bankrupt? Now, these are federal dollars, and the federal government is having to borrow these dollars. So every state that participates in this, we're just running up the national debt more and more. And that really is the issue. At some point, we've got to quit spending and trying to solve every problem that's out there. And we've got to exercise some fiscal responsibility. And I think that's what this is about. You know, you can always say, well, we can cover more people. Yeah, theoretically we could. But how much money do we have to borrow in this time where we've got a $17 trillion deficit, a good percentage of which we're borrowing from the Chinese? So that really is the issue. Is this a fiscally responsible thing to do?
And I would disagree with John's description. That's not what's being put out to the voters. That's not how it's being described. This is being pushed as a way to stop the Affordable Care Act. This is being pushed as a way to stop President Obama's health care program. This has not been framed to the voters in some sort of, hey, we have this philosophical issue and how are we going to deal with the debt in our country. That's not what's being pushed. This is a sheer political attack on the Affordable Care Act. Let's not mince words. Let's not try to sugarcoat it or call it something that it's not, because voters are being told one thing. And the reality is when people look at this, you go back to the year 2000 in Arizona, and voters in Arizona agreed that we needed to provide health care for these single individuals that were under 100% of the poverty level. So voters in Arizona have already made this decision to say, we've got to cover these people, because if we don't cover them with some sort of health care now, the costs that come down the pike for not having health care are much, much greater and a bigger burden on society, well, fiscally speaking. So we've made this decision. The only issue here at this point is, do we go from 100% to 133% for those that are single?
And Vince, I think you've hit the issue there. I'm not talking about what's being sold to the public. I'm talking about my views of it. And I think that, very frankly, if we don't cover these people under Medicaid, then they will be covered automatically under Obamacare. And that's what Obamacare has guaranteed to do, is cover everybody that doesn't have another plan. So if in fact these people need to be covered, and if Obamacare is so wonderful, then why do we need to put them under Medicaid? Let's put them under Obamacare.
But that's not resolving the issue, John. You know yourself that really that becomes then a shell game for what is really happening. What is happening here is we have, I think, $1.3 billion of potential federal aid that the government said, if you expand this, you are getting this money. If you don't have it, then you're not getting all the money. It's essentially a carrot stick approach.
But we're borrowing that money from the Chinese and other people, Vince.
Arizona's not borrowing anything from China. We're talking about Arizona and Arizona's decisions.
We're part of the United States.
Yeah, but you're trying to globalize this into a philosophical discussion about China and debt, where the reality is Arizona has a budget crisis. If we don't have these dollars, you're essentially cutting off Arizona's budgetary nose to spite its face.
Okay, let me jump in here real quick. The group behind this is the United Republican Alliance for Principled Conservatives, and its chief backer is former state senator Frank Antonori, who I believe is on the line. Frank, are you there?
And I'm here.
Okay. Hey, one of the questions that was not answered in the Star story is how many signatures have been collected thus far? And you need just over 86,000 by September 11th to prevent it from going into effect in January. What's the number?
Well, we're in the final phase of it now, and we're working hard, and we're on track to meet that number. And that's why you've seen this op-ed come out in the Star, because they're beginning to realize that there's a good chance that we're going to make it. But I want to clear up some stuff, Dan, if I can.
Sure.
There's several misleading things here, and I want to make sure that gets us out. First of all, this is Obamacare, and this is a way to stop it. If you read the Roberts Supreme Court decision, and Vince is a lawyer, he should have read it, it clearly says that it's optional for the states. They don't have to do it. They can decide not to, and that the federal government cannot financially penalize states for not accepting Obamacare. They also don't have to take into effect, they don't have to implement the federal exchanges in the states. And Oklahoma is currently suing over that. The other phase of Obamacare is the enforcement phase, which the IRS is going to be in charge of. Those are the three major components. So the Medicaid expansion, the exchanges, and the enforcement. Arizona can reject all of those by not accepting it. If you read the Roberts decision, it says if they accept any part of it, they automatically accept the regulatory and the oversight burden of the federal government for the program. So the federal government will come in and run basically the access system in Arizona from the Center for Medicaid Services in Washington. The other thing that upset me about the Star story is what is a blatant lie about 67,000 people losing coverage. That is not true. The governor has failed to request another extension of the waiver from CMS. She does this every year. Every year CMS puts out a little notice and says, hey, if you're up for a waiver extension, you have to submit and apply for a new waiver to get, if you have any extension like we have, which is 75 to 100%, you have to apply for that. The governor failed to do that this year. She did not submit for the waiver. Had we submitted for the waiver, under the Roberts decision, the federal government would basically have to give it to us, because the decision said that if there is a state dollar amount being funded in the state for Medicaid, which includes the Prop 204 population, it would be illegal for the federal government to reduce that number. So if that's the case, there would be no people being kicked off if the governor had submitted to extend for the waiver and the federal government complied with the Roberts decision and continued the funding coming for the state. It is literally a tool, and I think a very mean tool, to use people that rely on Medicaid as an excuse to bring in the largest expansion of government and to take over our healthcare system in Arizona. And it is not true. And it upsets me more than anything that they continue to exploit these people for their political purposes.
Okay,
and it's
Vince,
just wrong.
Vince.
Look, the reality is prior to this date, the state did cut those people, refused to fund those people that were single, as was previously required by law.
No,
the second part
either,
of this,
Vince.
The second
Vince.
Part of this
that's
is that at the end of the day, you can read the Roberts opinion, and the Roberts opinion does not say that the federal government can not withhold federal dollars. It can offer that if you agree, just like anything, if they offer to agree to give you federal funds for a highway and in order to participate, and that you have to have, for example, speed limit at 55 or certain other requirements, federal government is fully entitled to do that. They don't have to give you money for anything.
No, wait,
and
then,
so
that's
the reality
true.
Is
that's
that that
true.
They that is that is true.
No,
and
the
John,
decision
I think
says that the federal government,
Frank, I think you ought to go to law school. The reality is it is true what I just said.
No.
Okay, Frank, let's go back, because the end of the day is actually going to be September 11th if you guys don't get the signatures.
That's
how
right.
many signatures have been collected? Will you answer that question?
We're not putting that number out, because I don't want to have either a misconception of you guys in the media and then, of course, our volunteers, because we already had the number inadvertently leaked to some people, and the emails were going out that we reached the number, and you know everybody sort of backed off, and
right.
that was done deliberately.
Frank,
so,
how many paid circulators are you having out there?
Zero.
Zero?
Yeah.
Okay, but you're going to make it.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. We're looking good, and we have a low error rate. We did a sample audit of 3,000 signatures, and we only had an error rate of about 3%. So I'm very confident that we will have a very successful effort here. And no, I don't know for sure until the final numbers are tallied, but we're working hard, and we'll be working all the way to the last minute to get as many petition signatures submitted to the Secretary of State as we can.
Okay.
But I can tell you, I'm really upset with what is all-out deception being done by the opposition here, and it is not true that me and the people that are in support of putting this to a question of the voters want to throw 67,000 people off the health care system. That is not true.
Okay.
The legislature has the authority to maintain that, and again, Vince, we did not cut those people. We froze enrollment, and we allowed the funding from the tobacco lawsuit settlement to continue to pay that with the matching federal funds to keep those people on the system, and they will stay on the system even if this goes to the ballot. So again, that is a misleading
statement. Okay, Frank, you are listening to the Buckmaster Show. We are past our break time here, but our political experts John Munger and Vince Robigo will be joining us on the other side of the break.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton-Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Another your business trip, why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up.
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. I'm here with our political experts, John Munger and Vince Robago. And on Wednesday, Arizona joined Kansas in a lawsuit asking the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission to not only require a declaration of citizenship when registering to vote, but also to give proof of citizenship. So, John, we have a federal form and a state form, and the federal form really is a lot easier. Isn't that the truth?
I think that is true. The federal form does not require proof of citizenship or a declaration. Uh-huh.
Okay. That's true. So, well, you actually do have to sign something that says you are a citizen of the country with a federal form, though, don't you?
I think that is correct, yeah.
Right. So the real question here is voter fraud. Is there a voter fraud problem?
Sure, there's a voter fraud problem. There's a voter fraud problem across the country. We get news all the time of people voting multiple times, and the risk is there. There is nothing more sacred in our country than the right to vote, and we need to do whatever reasonable steps there are to protect our right to vote. And I can't understand why that's an issue, why the Democrats are afraid to ask people to simply present some form of identification that indicates that they are a citizen of the United States. Why is that a problem? Why are they fighting that so much?
Well, let's ask Vince Robago. Why is it such a big deal to require someone who is here legally to come up with some of this paperwork? Is it really that difficult?
Well, number one, first of all, it's nothing. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution, nothing in the United States Constitution that tells you, and John's libertarian friends ought to be getting quite upset right now, because what they're trying to do is essentially create a national ID requirement, right? Something where you have to have an ID. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that says you have to carry some sort of ID. So first and foremost, as a bedrock American principle, there's nothing forcing you to carry anything. You say, I'm an American. Secondly, the premise that there is a big major voter fraud problem is false. Secretary of State Ken Bennett testified to Congress last year and examined both the 2008 elections, the 2010 elections. We were talking over 3.5 million voters. And what he found was out of those 3.5 million plus voters in Arizona that voted, that there were 15 matters that they had to investigate for this alleged voter fraud. And what they found out of those 15 cases, all of them were cases where somebody lived in Arizona, was a citizen, lived in Arizona, and also resided in another state. So we have a snowbird problem, not a voter fraud problem. And with that kind of a percentage, you are far more likely to get struck by lightning when going to the polls than you are to have actual voter fraud occurring in the state of Arizona based on the actual words and testimony coming from our own elected Arizona Secretary of State, Ken Bennett, who presented these numbers of 15 cases of essentially snowbirds that voted twice, voted in this state and voted in another state. What is happening here is an effort to whip up fear and demagoguery in order to suppress voting. Who does this hurt? This hurts senior citizens that no longer have to have an ID because they don't drive. They don't have a driver's license. They don't have to drive. They're in a senior citizen's home. You are affecting Indians, who Native Americans who live on tribal areas that do not live and don't have a need to have a driver's license and don't have the traditional lifestyle or driver's license that would otherwise be required.
Okay.
Now, at the heart of this, let me just throw this in and John can respond. The heart of this lawsuit, you know what they're saying? They're saying an oath is not good enough. That is actually in the language of the lawsuit. An oath that you are a citizen is not good enough. And so the irony of this is you have the chief law enforcement officer of the state of Arizona who presents witnesses every day in court to get criminal convictions, and all they do is raise their hand and they say, I swear an oath to tell the truth. So they are essentially saying that the criminal justice system is good enough to take an oath, but voter registration is not good.
Well,
enough
that's a different
oath.
That's a different issue.
Yeah, you're convicting people for their lives,
and I I can tell you that as an attorney who's practiced almost 40 years, people taking an oath, a heavy percentage of them are lying, and you know it, and I know it. An oath doesn't do it for people who have a purposeful intent to violate the law. An oath just doesn't do it, and it happens in court all the time, and you know it, and I know it. Let me finish because I gave you plenty of time.
Sure.
Asking somebody to present some type of form of citizenship, a driver's license or whatever, Lord, you need it to get on an airplane. You need it to do anything in this country. Why you wouldn't need it to do the most sacred thing that there is, and that is voting, is beyond me. And, Vince, you are aware, and I am aware, that the state is prepared and does offer all kinds of identification forms free of charge for people to vote. It doesn't matter whether it is happening, it happened in the last election or it happened in the election before that. These things do happen. And they happen various places across the country. And when they happen, they are inevitably a surprise. What we're trying to do is prevent that type of surprise. How you folks can object to presenting a driver's license or some type of ID when you have to present it to any place else. You have to present it when you cash a check in a bank. If they don't know you, get on an airplane, do anything. I just don't understand why that is a problem.
But John, let me ask you, is it unconstitutional to require a demonstration
Absolutely
of citizenship?
Not.
Okay,
Absolutely
so you do not have
not.
The Constitution.
No, the Constitution doesn't say one way or the other. What the Constitution says is you have to be a citizen. It's a matter of what proof is there that you are a citizen.
Okay, very quickly, we're going to go to the phones for Doug. Doug, we got less than a minute here. Go ahead. We have Doug on the line. Okay, Doug had a comment about, is he there? Okay,
yeah,
Doug.
I'm here.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quickly, and I forget the names of people, but to me it sounds very disingenuous to say that it's not fair to require people to have proof of ID. As one person just stated, you go any place else and you're required that.
Right.
And one person just said that there's no constitutional law requiring that everybody carry their registration. I'm registered, but I don't carry it. I keep it at home. If I need to take it to go vote, then I'll take it. I mean, that's a simple and
I think that's important that Vince is wrong when he says we're trying to require a national ID. No, we're not. The gentleman is absolutely right. We're not requiring an ID except when you vote.
Vince, you have 5 seconds.
5 seconds. The lawsuit that challenged this law originally proved that 30,000 Arizona citizens were prevented from voting because of this law.
Okay.
So there you go.
We're going to have to leave it at that. You've been listening to the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They can take care of all your picture framing needs. They've got art for your walls. They've got mirrors. They've got a lot more. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com. After the news, we're going to be talking to Lynn Peters Adler and just an incredible book that she has put together. Thank you both, Vince and John, for being here this half hour.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Secretary of State Kerry says chemical weapons have been used in Syria, and he's accusing President Assad of destroying the evidence, ratcheting up criticism of Syria's alleged chemical weapons use. Kerry calls last week's attack a moral obscenity and says it should shock the conscience of the world. He says the U.S. has additional information about the attack and will be making it public in the coming days. Jurors in Texas will decide whether Army Major Nidal Hassan will live or die. I've been hearing testimony today from victims and their families, including a soldier who had been expected to die after being shot in the head a number of times during the Fort Hood attack. Students throughout the Midwest getting out of school early this week because of a heat wave, sweltering temperatures, a lack of air conditioning in some classrooms. The Dow down 46 points, and this is SRN News.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun, sitting in for Bill. He's out all week enjoying the Canadian Rockies with his bride. We hope they're having a great time. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call our live line anytime at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. I'm joined now by phone from Connecticut with Lynn Peters Adler. Welcome, Lynn. How are you?
I'm great, Dan. Thanks so much for having me on the show today.
So what's it looking like this afternoon in Connecticut?
It's a little dreary, and I miss the Arizona sunshine.
Oh, boy. You and your colleague, Steve Franklin, recently published an incredible book titled Celebrate 100, Centenarian Secrets to Success in Business and Life. And I got to tell you, I just absolutely love this book.
Thank you so much, Dan. I'm so pleased.
Sure.
It's really a testament to the wonderful people who are in the book, the centenarians who are in the book.
Absolutely.
We're just the means of getting their voice out.
But absolutely.
It's their stories that really make all the difference. And so many, because I've lived 30 years in Arizona, so many of the centenarians in the book are from Arizona.
Exactly.
And I
noticed that.
Pictures and a lot of them.
Right. And before we get to the actual book, I do want to tell people that while you're on the East Coast, you do have a lot of strong ties to Arizona. Tell us a little bit about that.
Of course. Yes. I moved to Arizona in 1984, and I've kept a house in Connecticut for the summer, as we can all understand.
Sure, I bet. Well, in this book, you and Steve interviewed more than 500 centenarians, which by my calculation is about 5,000 years of life on Earth here. Tell us about the book and how it came about.
Well, thank you. I have, as you say, a strong ties to Arizona. I just give you, just for a little background, centenarians are my life's work, and honoring centenarians is really my pleasure. I started a centenarian program in Phoenix in 1985 when I was chair of the Mayor's Aging Services Commission. And then in 1986, it was so successful in Phoenix that I took the program statewide with the Governor's Advisory Council on Aging, and I served two terms on the Governor's Council, and I've also been on the Attorney General's Task Force on Elder Abuse. So I've really been very involved in the aging community in Phoenix and in Arizona. So it's, this wasn't just something that I just picked up and decided to write about. This is my heart and soul.
And the book is really just... go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say it's my second book. It's actually my second book on centenarians. The first one was published in 1995, and it's still in print. It's Centenarians, the Bonus Years.
Very good. Tell us about some of the interesting people we're going to meet. And I just want to give people a sense as they go through this. First of all, it's just a high-quality book. It's great for gift-giving, as they say. And I could not turn a single page without learning something. The wisdom in this is so deep, and the way you look back at life at 100 is so different than any other time in your life, and it's just so rich. But tell us about some of the interesting folks that we're going to meet as we flip through this book.
Thank you so much. Well, I'd like to start with someone close to you, Trudy Fletcher of Tubac, Arizona, and she is just absolutely delightful.
She is.
She's as she said to me yesterday. I talk with her a lot on the phone. She said yesterday, "I'm a very, very happy 100."
Yeah, absolutely.
It just doesn't get any better than that, Dan.
I tell you,
to be able to say you're happy at 100.
I tell you, and I got to tell you, you read in the book, and I wondered how long it would take before I hit this line, but somebody said, if you have your health, you have everything. And how many times did you hear this when you were writing this book? If you have your health, you have everything.
I heard it first from my grandmother when I was growing up.
Sure.
And so it had a familiar refrain, because almost every centenarian in the book, we ask, it was a huge questionnaire, I mean, the survey that we did, it was really long, and we asked every centenarian, and almost everyone in one way or the other said, number one thing to do in your life is take care of your health, and if you have your health, you have everything.
Absolutely.
And very many people, we also asked the question, how would you define the word rich? And that was my favorite question in the whole survey, because the answers were so varied. But so many people say, I have my health, I'm rich.
Absolutely.
And so it's worth doing. And you'd be amazed at how many centenarians are exercising. I mean, they're really paying attention to doing the right things.
Well, and I think this busts some of those stereotypes that were that we hear way, way too often, that these people are pretty much on a shelf and out of the way and not doing anything. But you've got people here who, a couple of them are even still working. They're driving. They're involved in businesses. They're starting clubs. They're getting married.
Isn't that great?
You know, it's an old tired phrase, but, you know, 100 must be, you know, what is it, the new 50, or I don't know, but it's incredible what they're doing.
At least the new 80, Dan.
Okay, there we go. And I got to tell you, some of these people, you're looking at their photos in the book, and you're saying, that person, there's no way that person is 100 years old.
Well, like Trudy. I
mean, sure.
Look at the gorgeous picture of Trudy.
Beautiful
she
woman.
She's still painting.
Right.
She's beautiful. She just had a show, a gallery show. She owned a gallery in Tubac, as you probably know,
sure,
for many, many years. And she had a gallery show there last year. She called it the 98s. Because it was the year of the paintings. I mean, she was her age when she did the paintings.
Exactly.
That she was showing. Now she's relearning the organ, she told me. She's taking organ lessons. So centenarians keep growing, and they keep doing. And that's just such an inspiration, I think, to all of us. And Trudy uses email. She sent me an email last night. She wanted me to go to a program. She's very big on positive thinking and positive attitude. Now I'll get into that in a little bit about other centenarians too. And I'd like to talk about the five traits that active centenarians have in common. But positive attitude is one of them. And Trudy is very, very, I mean, she's positive everything.
So right. Oh, definitely.
She was telling me, but she sent
she's
me
awesome.
An email, Dan. I mean, this is so extraordinary. She sent me an email last night telling me about a place near here in Rhine, New York, that I should go to because they have seminars. I mean, but to be that involved and that interested, it's amazing.
Right.
And Dr. Will Clark,
right,
who is just so fabulous. Both him, Dr. Clark of Tucson, and his wife Lois. She lived to be 101. Dr. Clark is 108, and he was still driving at 107. But he, for his 105th birthday, he asked his sons to give him a computer. He said, "I have enough ties, I have enough shirts, I want a computer." And so they
good
gave him a computer. He hired a young man to teach him, and he called me one day and he said, "You know, Lynn, I can look up things on Google I never thought I needed to know."
Okay, very good. Hey, we're going to go to the phones here, and we've got a caller, Joe. Why don't you, Joe, are you there? You got a question for Lynn, right? Go ahead.
Yes, Lynn. Of the centenarians, how many of them are here in Arizona?
There are over 800 centenarians in Arizona. And the number is growing every day. When I first started my work with centenarians in 1985, Joe, there were 271 centenarians in Arizona, and now there are over 800. But nationally, the number varies. It conservatively, there are 53,000, and on the high end, and that's where I go, there are 80,000. And I don't know if you're in the boomer generation, but 1 in 26 boomers is predicted to live to be 100.
Wow.
Well, okay. my other question is, of those in Arizona, I'm curious as to how many of them are native Arizonans.
Yeah, that would put them back to the birth of the state.
There aren't that many.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on the Arizona Centennial Commission, Joe, and so I got to meet a lot of centenarians in Arizona, obviously, because it was our celebration, and it was surprising. Every once in a while, we would find someone who was a native Arizona, but that it wasn't all that many, I have to say. I would say a conservative estimate would be around 15% of the centenarians that we did contact for the centennial in 2012 were native Arizonans. Most have moved there from other parts of the country, but just look at the way Arizona has grown over. I mean, it makes sense.
No kidding. And
so
to go,
many people have moved.
Sure, and to go back to the numbers there, by the year 2050, it's estimated there could be 1 million centenarians in the United States. And let me throw some more numbers at you. In 1912, according to your book, you had a 0.7% chance of living to be 100 years old. In 2012, you have a nearly 30% chance of reaching it. And
yes, and go ahead, Dan.
Sure, go ahead. That's
a
huge number.
No, I was just going to say that it is a huge number. And then the other exciting thing is so many boomers my age are now having grandchildren. And for those grandchildren, they have a really good chance of living to 100. It's not science fiction.
Okay, very good. I am talking to Lynn Peters Adler. She is the author of Celebrate 100, Centenarian Secrets to Success in Business and Life. And we are going to continue our conversation with her after the break.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill, who's on vacation. And on the line from Connecticut, we have Lynn Peters Adler, the author of Celebrate 100, Centenary and Secrets to Success in Business and Life. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can feel free to call our live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Lynn, you call this a boomer book. How come?
Yes. Well, because the centenarians in the book, Dan, are inspiration, and they show us what's possible and are role models for the future of aging. But they're, you know, for those, and as I think I mentioned earlier, maybe I didn't, that one in 26 boomers is predicted to live to be 100. And that's a lot of people. And as you said, some of the projections are a million centenarians by 2050. Those are boomers. So, you know, we need to know how we're going to get there.
Absolutely.
You know, what do we need to know? And so centenarians are the experts. They've lived longer than everybody, and we can learn so much from them. And you may not agree with all the advice that centenarians have, but it's certainly going to make you think about how do you want to live your later years. If you're 60, how are you going to live your later years?
Absolutely.
It gives so many illustrations of how centenarians have done it, because the book is not only about people at 100. It talks about how they've lived on their lives up to 100. And I love to quote Dr. Clark, who said, people ask me all the time how to live to 100, and I tell them it's easy. All you have to do is survive your 70s, 80s, and 90s, and that's the hardest.
One of my favorite quotes in the book. One of my favorite quotes in the book.
Yeah, isn't it great?
It's terrific.
And so that's why I think the book is really for boomers and those a little bit older. And it will help give us a roadmap for how are we going to create a good life in our later years, because boomers like to have fun, and centenarians who are active and healthy are having fun.
And early on,
great example.
Exactly. And early on, a lot of these adults were hit just between the eyes with the depression. I mean, do the math. Yes. If you're over 100 years old, you lived through it as an adult. You're just beginning your adult lives. How did that shape some of these folks?
That's right. Well, what it did was it made them very financially conservative, and you can certainly understand that. And we've gone through that ourselves. And I think that so many of us have felt the pinch of the economy for the last several years, and we're a little bit thrown by it. But if we look at the centenarians and how they managed, as you say, Dan, they were just starting out in their careers, their marriages. They were doing whatever they could to get through those terrible depression years, which were much longer than most of us think. I mean, it was a whole decade of the 30s. And then they had to go into World War II. So if we look at what they did, so many of them, there's a whole chapter on money and their advice on money, and they were very conservative. And they all say that debt is a four-letter word. You know, don't go into debt. Just don't do it.
Right, and I'm surprised at how much the book touches on finances and the terrific advice. And actually, at one point, you even asked the question, did you ever go into debt to buy jewelry? Did you ever go into debt to buy a TV? Did you ever go into debt to buy this or that? And the answer is nearly 100% just saying, no, if you don't have the cash, don't do it.
That's exactly right. And as Lewis Wrights of Glendale said, I do have a credit card because credit cards are convenient, but I pay them off every month. I'm the kind of user that they don't like.
Right. Exactly. Good for him.
But the other point, it's not that we don't know these things, Dan. You know, we all hear it. We all know it. It's just that sometimes it bears repeating again. Because if you hear someone who has successfully lived to 100 say, don't waste money paying interest.
Right.
It brings it home. I mean, it makes more sense. It's like, oh gosh, I am wasting $300 a month.
Absolutely.
If you add it up.
And they got by with what they needed and maybe not necessarily what they wanted, but I'll tell you, as these people look back at the highlights of their lives, they're not talking about the big house or the fast car or the 8-carat ring or whatever. They're talking about relationships. They're talking about people. They're talking about being satisfied in the jobs that they were in and finding fulfillment. It's so refreshing.
Yes.
So refreshing.
It is. And the other thing is that if you'll notice in the book that centenarians put a very high value, as you say, on relationships and also on experiences.
Sure.
That spend your money on experiences. Don't spend your money on things. And I love Lois Clark, Dr. Clark's wife, and they were a very rare centenarian couple. There's not a lot of people in the country who have both lived 100. But she said, "I was always stingy and tight. And so because of that, we're able to afford a good retirement."
Absolutely. And I think one of them actually, at one point in the book, says, "You better plan for the future because you might live to be 100 too."
That's exactly right. Yeah. And Lillian Cox said, "Don't count on not living to 100.
Absolutely. And anymore now, you know, with one in three people possibly doing it in the future, people born, you know, here just in the last few years, that's a very real possibility. But we also have got to look at some of the significant historical events and how they left an impression on these people. And we've mentioned the Depression. We've mentioned wars, the Civil Rights Movement, which we're thinking a lot about this week. But what are some of the significant events that really these people bring up time and time again during your interviews?
Well, if you'll notice in the beginning of the book, near the beginning, is an innovation timeline. And I think that that's something that we don't pay a lot of attention to. We all pretty much know the historical events. But when it comes to the innovation that they've lived through, for example, the electric washing machine, we all take it for granted, but that was a centenarian women's favorite of household appliances, of things that were invented during their lifetime. But we have to think, I mean, they were just growing up with the early days of radio. They lived through, then came the advent of television, things that we take so for granted. And for some of the centenarians who are using, for example, Marvin Knudsen in Sun City uses a smartphone, and he taught me Skype. It was the first time I'd ever seen Skype.
Terrific.
Because he uses it to communicate with his grandsons. And I said, "How did you learn that?" I mean, it was just like, I was amazed. And he said, "Well, you know, we lived through a lot of technological changes. We had dial phones. We had to learn how to use push-button phones. And for some people, that was a leap."
Absolutely.
I think it's not just, but we have to remember not only the historical events, but also the innovation that they've lived through. It's just, it was phenomenal. And the medical advances. I mean, so many of them are here today because of medical advances. Garnet Beckman, for example, in Phoenix, was one of the oldest at that time to have a heart valve replacement in her early 90s because she wanted to continue to hike the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
I mean, how cool is that?
Incredible. I was talking to somebody over the weekend about your book, and she told me that one of her relatives said the most wonderful invention was the school bus. And the reason was it allowed certain people in rural areas to now go to school past the eighth grade. And it's interesting what people remember and what's important to them. But so many of these events. Well, you can see this, again, all through the book. And I want to read a couple of quick quotes here because they're just funny and they're wonderful. Eloise Wright, who's 100, says, "When you're 100, you can say what you want." you know. And then somebody, Robert Martin, says, "The best part is seeing your family grow." And again, it does keep going back to family and to relationships. And I'm in Green Valley, where it's a retirement community, and a lot of people, you know, some depression can set in when you are seeing your friends, even your family, die away. But these people, what is it in them that has allowed them to move forward and thrive?
Well, if I may, just very quickly, may I read The Centenarian Spirit, which I developed from my first survey of centenarians in Arizona in 1988. And it's stood the test of time, Dan, throughout all the thousands of centenarians I've known. And it is the five traits that centenarians have in common, active centenarians have in common, which is a love of life, which includes a sense of humor and a healthy dose of self-esteem, a positive yet realistic attitude, a strong spiritual or religious belief, personal courage, because it's not easy to grow old, and a lot of things can go wrong, especially medically, that require intervention, and that's not easy at any age.
Right.
And then fifth, and to me the most remarkable, is an ability to renegotiate life at every turn, to accept the losses and changes that come with aging, and not let it stop them. Centenarians are not quitters.
Oh.
And they're not complainers either.
And I tell you what, you sit down and talk to them, and they're some of the most interesting people that you will ever meet. I tell you.
That's absolutely for sure. May I quickly say that I have a nonprofit organization to honor people who live to be 100. I founded it in 1989. It's nationwide, and it's to honor centenarians and to provide positive role models for the future of aging for boomers, and also to help dispel the stereotypes, as you said in the beginning, of advanced age as a time of disinterest in life. And we offer complimentary certificates, personalized certificates, to anyone 100 and over.
How can people get a hold of you for that?
Website, adlercentenarians.org.
Okay, thank you, Lynn Peters Adler. The name of the book is Celebrate 100, Centenarian Secrets to Success in Business and Life. This is going to wrap it up for this edition of the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available for your home or business. I will be back on Friday for the Reporters Roundtable, and Bill's got a great lineup of folks sitting in for him between now and then. Make it a great Monday.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.